Let's all stand then and turn to Romans chapter 6. We'll just jump right into our lesson today. Romans chapter 6. All right, we all there? Say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 15 to the end of the chapter there. Are you ready? Let's read. Paul says this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Does that sound like a familiar question? Yeah. And again, Paul says, God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, say that word, servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 17, when he says, God be thanked, there's a really important word there where it says that ye, and that word, were. That's what he's thanking God about. You used to be, not anymore. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So you were set free so that you can be a servant of somebody else. Saved to serve. 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Important question that we'll dig into. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I have three titles today. One I have written down is Choose Who You Will Serve. It's my least favorite of the three titles. Second title is what the kids sang today. You are saved to serve the Savior. And then one more title, you have a new master. You have a new master. So let's pray and we'll get into the lesson. God, thank you. Thank you so much again for this great day. We get to be in your house. We get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We get to encourage each other as we already have done. So thankful for our church family. We get to hear from you and your word. And we get to sing praises to you. We're so undeserving. Thank you for being such a good master to us. And God, I pray that you bless this service today, this Sunday school hour, and this lesson. Help me to have clarity. Pray that you speak through me. Help us to understand your word today. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So when you read verse 15, again, it hopefully sounded familiar to you. And the reason is because Paul is kind of continuing his thought that he started in the first part of Romans 6. And so, in our lesson, in the first part of chapter 6, Paul began to address a common objection against his gospel. Now, when I say his gospel, that doesn't mean like Paul is the one who came up with it, but it's the gospel that Paul teaches. And the reason I say that, too, is because there were other gospels being taught that aren't the real gospel. And can I pause and say this morning? There are a lot of gospels today being taught that are not accurate. And there's only one gospel, biblical gospel, but there are others who have different teachings. And so whenever the true gospel of grace is taught, there is a common objection to that back in Paul's day and still today. And when you say that we are not saved by works, we are not saved by anything good that we have done. In fact, we can't do anything to save ourselves. It is all through what God has done and the grace of God that we cannot earn. And when you say that, then often there arises this question in the lost and those who don't really buy that, and they'll say basically this, that grace gives you a license to sin. That's the blank in our notes. Grace gives a believer license to sin. And by that, we've dealt with it already, that, okay, so if we're saved by grace and our works have nothing to do with it, then why don't we just keep sinning? Because the grace will keep being there. And that is the opposite of what grace intends to do. And so, in verse 1, our notes again, in verse 1, Paul phrased the question this way, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And again, he answered with, God forbid. Again, that exclamation point I put there. Then he explained a complex truth, C-O-M-P-L-E-X. C-O-M-P-L-E-X. A complex truth of the Word of God, that a believer is baptized into Christ and dead to sin. And we spent two lessons on that. Because it is a pretty intense, deep theological truth that is often misunderstood and misapplied. And so anyway, it's a pretty hard concept to understand. Okay, so then in verse 15, Paul again brings up the objection that grace gives the license to sin. And he answered it from a different angle. And that's what we're doing today. And so he phrased the question this way in verse 15, and we read it. It's in our notes there too. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And so, Paul, if the law doesn't condemn us anymore, then why don't we just keep sinning? Because we're going to go to heaven anyway, is basically the question. And again, Paul answered, God forbid. And this time he used an illustration. That's the blank. He used an illustration to make his point. Now, I'm not going to reteach this part of it, but we said last week that if you're thinking that grace allows me to sin more, then you have a very, very wrong view of grace and sin. And we dealt with that last week. But what we're going to do this week is we're going to illustrate his point in that we are dead to sin. And that's exactly what Paul does, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to start in verse 19. I know it's not how I normally do it, but verse 19 helps us to understand what Paul is doing with all of these verses, okay? And so number one in our notes, Paul used an illustration to make a complex truth very simple. The blank is simple. So let's read verse 19. Are you there? Verse 19, Paul said this, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Let's just read that and I'll explain what that means. And so in our notes, letter A says this, we are weak. That's the blank. We are weak because of our flesh, and we are helped when spiritual truths are explained through illustrations. Are you following me? Let's pause and let's talk about that a little bit. We're carnal. Carnal, anyone who speaks Spanish, carne means meat, flesh. Carnal, we're fleshly. What does that mean? That means we don't naturally think spiritually. Are you following? That means that even though we're saved and we have the Spirit's help, that we still sometimes have a hard time grasping spiritual truth. We have that problem. Why? Because we still live in our flesh. And we have our flesh, and we have the Spirit of God in us. But sometimes, in our flesh, we have a hard time understanding spiritual, eternal truths. And that's what Paul meant by that. That he speaks, look at verse 19 again, I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity of your flesh. Because of your flesh, what I just said in the first part of chapter 6 might have been pretty difficult to understand, just right off the bat. And if you ever just read through Romans without stopping to understand and study, it probably was super confusing. And that's mostly because of our flesh and our sin nature that sometimes makes it difficult for us to understand spiritual truth. Okay? By the way, in our notes, that is why Jesus often used parables to explain spiritual truth. So what Jesus does is he often, in the Gospels, you'll notice this, he'll talk about a spiritual truth that is hard for people to understand on their own. And then what he'll do is he'll illustrate that truth with a parable. And he'll say things like, the kingdom of heaven is like this, like a mustard seed, like the field, like, and the heart of man is like soil. And what he's doing is he's taking stuff that we do understand already, and they would have understand even more. We don't understand a whole lot about like growing stuff, most of us, but they would have. And so what he does is Jesus appeals to stuff that they already understand to help them understand something they don't understand yet. And make some connections. Does that make sense? That's what an illustration is. And that's what a parable is for. It's to explain a spiritual truth with something from this world to help us get it. Following? Okay, and that's exactly what Paul does. By the way, in our notes, that's why Pastor Moore labors to use illustrations in his sermons. Because what he's doing, what Pastor does week in and week out, is he studies three different passages of Scripture, and what he does is he digs and he finds spiritual truth that is timeless truth. If it's a spiritual truth, that means it applies all the time. And so Pastor will pull out eternal spiritual truth out of Scripture, and then what he does, here's the life of the man of God. And I was just talking to Brother Tim about this, that the man of God meets with God, and he gets a spiritual truth from God. It's like Moses going up to the mountain, and he gets alone with God. And now we don't have mountaintop experiences anymore, but we have the Word of God, don't we? And so the man of God, he gets away and alone with God, and he studies and he labors in the Word of God, and he gets a spiritual truth. And then what he does is he takes that spiritual truth and he writes a sermon in a way that he can bring it and deliver it to man, you see. And so Pastor Moore will meet with God and get a spiritual truth. And if he was just to come to you and just give you a spiritual truth and not do anything to help you understand, it wouldn't help any, you see. And so the man of God meets with God and then brings the message from God and he delivers it to man. And he meets with man. And he mingles with man and he understands the problems of man. And then what he does is he leaves man again and he goes back to God. And he meets with God and he gets a message from God again. And then he brings that message back to man, you see. And that's the cycle. But that's why Pastor Moore will labor. He'll get the spiritual truth, yeah. And he can just give a dissertation and a lecture about that spiritual truth. But the point is for you to understand the spiritual truth. And so often he'll sometimes be done with his message Monday or Tuesday and labor for days and days to find some way, led by God, obviously, but to have some illustrations to help you understand what it is that God said, you see. Otherwise, we can just get up here and read the Scripture. And there are some churches that just get up and read the Scripture. But that's not going to be as helpful if we aren't able to help people understand. That's the job of a preacher, to help people understand the Scripture, you see. And that's what illustrations are for. And that's what Paul did. Paul used an illustration to help the Romans understand the spiritual truth that they are dead to sin. That one we just talked about in the first part of chapter 6. Are we doing good? Okay. And so letter B there, Paul used slavery. S-L-A-V-E-R-Y. Paul used the idea of slavery as an illustration to explain to the Romans that they were dead to sin. And there's a lot of things we can say about slavery and really dig into it. But I want to say this too about illustrations, is they can be taken too far. An illustration is pretty much like a metaphor, right? And so what we do is we say like, okay, so in the Bible it says flesh, man's flesh is like the grass of the field. Does that mean that people are all green? No. Are you green? Well, grass is green, and you're like grass. So what I'm telling you is it's not the same, but there's something about grass that he's applying to man. And what he says right after is that it withereth away. And we're here, and then we're gone. Does that make sense? And so we're not going to dig into all the aspects of slavery, but there's something about slavery that applies to this truth. And they would have known slavery in a different way we did, but it still applies the same way. Okay, so we're not gonna have a whole conversation about that necessarily. Yes, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll park there a little bit too. Go ahead. Is there anything else? Yeah, so people do that, and I understand it. And they'll say, and not, having no context, well, we're the salt of the earth, and so, and there's, but you can't do that. Jesus said salt of the earth for a reason. And so what you need to do is find out where the connection is. What we can't do is, like, make a lesson about we're the light and everything that has to do with light. And light is like, I've heard it's like pure light and diffraction and all these colors. He never said anything about that. There's something specific that's true about light, and that's true about whatever it is that Jesus was teaching at that time. And we can't connect every verse that talks about light and put them all together and make a doctrine about us being light. There's a couple other ones I'm getting to that we don't have time, and I don't want to be controversial. But I'm just saying, oftentimes we get interested in these illustrations and we take them too far to an extent that isn't intended. And then we're saying stuff that God didn't say, and it's dangerous. So anyways, thank you for that. That's a hobby horse of mine. But we're gonna get off the horse, back to scripture, okay? All right. So, yes, we're talking about slavery, and he's using it in a very generic way, and so will we, okay? All right. So, number two. Believers have a choice to serve sin or to serve righteousness. Here's the main point. You have a choice which master you will serve. Okay, there's some really important points about that Paul makes, so we'll get into right now. Letter A. Paul said that the Roman believers had a choice who would be their master. That's the blank. Sin or righteousness. Okay, so look at verse 16. Paul says this, "Know ye not that to whom ye," say that word, yield. Now, to yield is a choice. Okay, so surrender is another way to say that. Yourselves servant to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I want you to remember this, that Paul is talking to saved people here. That's an important point to be made. I'll explain why in a second. But believers, if you're saved, you have a choice who you will obey. And here's, in the end, what you're choosing. Am I going to obey my flesh, or am I going to obey God? That's it. And by the way, you can't really serve both. It's one or the other. So they can obey the lust of their flesh and live life their way, or they can obey God and live life His way. And I think what Paul is trying to explain is that both are a sort of bondage. You don't really have the freedom you think you do, because your flesh is cursed by sin. And so you'll say things like, I'm going to live life my way. When you do that, you're surrendering to the power of the flesh. You see? Or I'm going to live for God. And when you do that, you're surrendering to the will of the Father. You see? Okay. And so to obey the flesh, or the sin nature of man, is to serve sin. And to obey God is to serve righteousness. That's the basic idea that Paul is getting across here. Okay? Okay. Now this is an important point too. Letter B, this choice that we talked about that a believer has only exists for the believer because of their obedience to the gospel. That's the blank, is the gospel. Well, what do you mean? Well, in verse 17, let's read it. I want to take time and really go through it. My lesson's little anyway. You're welcome. Verse 17, Paul says this, but God be thanked that ye, what's that word? Were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. So Paul paused for a second, in kind of the middle of his thought, to praise God that the gospel frees man from the bondage of sin. And what Paul said is, before you were a believer, you were servants of, in our notes, every person is born servants of, or in bondage to sin. Now I want to pause and remind you what Paul has already said about the power of sin. And when we're born dead, spiritually speaking, right? We've spent a lot of time on that, and I won't reteach it. But when we're born dead in sin, that means we don't have a spiritual walk with God. Paul has made clear that from Adam and on, sin has reigned and ruled. And sin is a harsh master. And you will obey the lusts of your flesh before you're saved. He's made that very clear. And you have no ability to serve God before you're saved. Now, what can happen is you can make your way to believing in Him. But you're not going to serve Him yet because you can't. The only thing that for God, the only decision for God a lost person can make is to accept His gift, you see. But to serve Him and bring honor to Him is impossible, because what does Hebrews say? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so the service to God starts at salvation, you see. Before that, you are a servant to sin. Yeah. God's your master. Sin. And you can say your flesh, the sin nature. And Jesus even at times goes so far as to say the devil himself as the prince and power of the air, you see. It's a harsh, harsh master. But letter C. No, wait, we haven't finished. Letter B at the end. If a man obeys from the heart. Now, what does that mean? Saved. Faith in God. Faith in the gospel. You turn your heart to Him. Until then, you're fighting with God in a sense. And if you're not saved, then you've heard the gospel, and we can't say that we serve God because we haven't even taken that first step to accept what He's done. And there's war with God, and there's enmity with God before you're saved. And it's like God is reaching in, and the Holy Spirit is touching, and He's telling you that you need to be saved. He's telling you that you're lost. He's telling you what He's done for you. And there's this war with God until finally we give up, and we say, God, I accept what You've done for me on the cross. There's that. But until then, you're a slave to sin, you see. But then you obey from the heart, or have faith in the gospel, and you are free from the slavery of sin. You're free from the master of sin. You no longer have to obey the lust of your flesh again, you see. Yeah. Now let her see, because of the gospel, believers, and here's the words, are free to serve. Isn't that exactly what the kid said? We are free to serve the Savior. We are free to serve righteousness. Before salvation, it was impossible. But now that you're saved, you are free from sin and able to serve God. And like we said last week, you don't have to sin anymore. There's nothing or nobody that can make you sin. Right? Isn't that what we said last week? There is nothing. But Brother Chad, they made me angry. No, they didn't make you angry. Does God want you to be angry? No. So what is it? It's a sin, and it's a choice that we make, because when we're saved, we have power over sin. We're dead to sin. Paul is making the case that the sin is no longer our master. We don't have to obey it anymore. We get to choose how we respond. And every time we sin, as a saved person, it's a choice we make. And those choices will bring consequences. And those choices will make our life hard. And like we said last week, until as saved people, we come to grips with the fact that we are who we are because of decisions we have made. Listen, things that we're involved with, the problems that we have in life, the anger that we have, and the anxiety that we have, and the everything, listen, everything about your life that is not what God wants it to be. You just ask yourself, does God want me to be like this? If the answer is no, we have to come to this conclusion. It's because of a choice I've made. Why? Because God has given you the power over sin. God has freed you from the master of sin. We no longer have to sin ever again. So we have to come to that hard decision in our life to say, my problem, my sin nature, my problems that I'm having in the daily living are because of decisions I've made. But then when we decide that and we admit that to ourselves, now we have the power to say, now I am going to choose to serve God instead. Until you admit you have a choice, then you are just you're just stuck. You can't help it. This is who I am. I was raised a certain way, and this is it. My health is this way, so I can't help but have this attitude. I grow up in this society that's corrupt, so I can't help to be this way about it. You're not a slave to any of those things. You're free. You have a choice. You're set free to serve. So, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So in our notes, letter C, number one down there, now that a believer is free from sin, they are free to serve righteousness. A believer no longer has to obey his flesh. We said last week in Galatians 5, Paul defined the flesh as what? As affections and lusts. Feelings, desires. Before we're saved, we're pretty much ruled by our feelings and by our desires. But we are saved and our flesh is crucified, and if we're saved, we no longer have to obey any feeling we have. We no longer have to obey any desire we have. We have a new option. We can obey God. The choice we have. And so a believer has the power to deny his flesh and obey God. Now, letter D. We already looked at verse 19. So Paul used this analogy to help the Roman believers understand that they are no longer slaves to the power of sin and can yield themselves to be slaves of righteousness and to holiness. And so before salvation, mankind is in bondage to sin and are unable to serve righteousness. Now, this is really important imagery, so I want to make sure you understand. There are two masters. There are only two. There is our flesh, and there is God. And before salvation, our flesh, and wrapped into that, sin, the devil, all of that, that's our master. And he's a harsh master, and he will not allow you to serve the other master. Following? You're his. And then people think they're free. And they say, I'm going to do what I want. Okay. Your master is harsh master. You see. And by the way, have you noticed that people will do what they want until it hurts them? And then after they're done doing what they want, they wish they didn't do what they want. Well, it was what you wanted. Well, what's the deal? You're not real. You're a slave to sin. And it's a harsh master. So there's two. When someone is saved, in our notes, when someone is saved, they are purchased from the slave market of sin, Blake's market. You were a slave to sin, and God purchased you. He bought you with his blood, and you are free. And now you're here. What do you mean? Am I not here? Well, no, because here's the deal. God doesn't force you to serve him like sin forces you to serve it. You see. And he freed you from there, and now you have a choice to serve the God who bought you by his blood, or to serve sin that has destroyed your life, your entire life. You have a choice now. Serve sin, serve God. Okay, let's keep going. The difference is that God is not a harsh master. He will allow you to decide to serve your old master or to serve him. Before salvation, our letter E, before salvation, mankind is free from righteousness. So he's making that case again, that before a person is saved, they are unable to serve God. A lost person can only follow the dictates of his flesh, and they serve that harsh master. Okay, now, letter number three. the end results make it a clear choice. Okay. What choice? Who you'll serve? Who you should serve? And so, letter A, consider the fruit of each choice. Look in verse 21. Paul says this. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So he's talking about your old master, sin. And Paul is asking this. What good has ever come from serving sin? The answer is none. There's been no good fruit that has come from serving sin. Sin has done nothing but hinder and hurt your life. He says, what fruit had ye in those things? And then he says, those things which ye are now ashamed. The life you used to live. Here's what sin brings. The master of sin, if for some reason, well, I know why. It's our sin nature. We want to serve that, and there's a part of us that wants to serve sin and wants to serve ourselves and wants to live life our way. But when we do that, it always, always, always brings shame. Always. So as we talk about our past sins to others, which we all have, and there's a time and place for that, and there's time and place to give testimony of where we were and what God has saved us from. There's time for that. But even as we do, there should always be a level of shame and disgust about that. Why? Because that's what sin does. It brings shame. We ought to be extremely thankful for the grace of God, right? But we should never become callous to the shame of sin. What are you saying, Brother Chad? I should just walk around all the time ashamed of who I was? No. But you should never become callous to what that sin did to your life. You see, it brings shame. Well, what do you mean? Well, Paul did that, right? He oftentimes talked about who he was before he was saved. And he would say things like, I was a murderer and I persecuted the church of God. Was he glorying in that? No, he was ashamed every time. But the point is this, I was living a life of shame, but here's the point, God saved me from that. Yeah. It brings shame. Don't dwell on your past and don't dwell on the sin of your past, but don't ever forget the shame and the destruction it brought in your life. Why? Because if you forget that, you'll go back to your old master. Isn't that what Israel did? They left Egypt, now they're with God, and now they forgot about all the bad things, and they remember the good things in their mind, but they forgot all of the shame and all of the bondage that they were in, and what did they immediately do? I want to go back! And so that's what we do if we forget. Yeah. Milk and honey, yeah. Egypt, their slavery, they loved it. You know how ridiculous that sounds? But that's what we all get. If we forget. Now, I'm not telling you to live a life moping around and being sad because you used to sin. But I am telling you, never forget. Never forget what God saved you from. What good came from that? Well, none. And then, the end is death. Right? For the end of those things is death. So not only does just serving sin, not only does it bring shame and reproach, and not only does it bring destruction in your life now, but the whole reason you had to be saved in the first place is because the end of that is death eternally away from God. We should have nothing to do with sin and the master of sin. We should want to steer clear as far away as we can from the master of sin. And the reason why some people say, well, I'll just sin and God will forgive me. Well, that means that you have forgotten the shame of sin. You've forgotten it. We, if we're thinking right, we want to stay as far away from that master that has abused us our entire life as possible. And then verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And so you can choose to go back to your old master and suffer the shame and the pain that you once had, or you can choose to wholeheartedly serve God and have a life of fulfillment, a life of holiness, and in the end, you will have already, it's true of you, eternal life. So what are you saying? Why? Listen, here's what Paul is asking. You were headed for eternal death. God saved you from that and has given you eternal life. Why, in God's name, would you choose to come back to this master? You have a choice, though, right? Because he's not a harsh master. And God will allow you to wreck your life over here. He is not going to like it. He's not going to make it easy. He's going to tell you it's not going to be good for you. And he's going to send sermons your way. And he's going to send the man of God your way. And the Holy Spirit of God, if you're truly saved, will continue to work in your heart and drag and try to pull you back this way. But he will not drag you. He is not a harsh master. He will let you go back to this sin, life of sin that you once lived. And you will be miserable. And there's no reason for that. And so consider the end. That's the blank right here. Verse 22. Consider the end of each choice. And so in verse 23, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Choice is clear, isn't it? It's not always so clear in our mind, is it? Well, how do you know that? Well, because I know less. And we often give in to our flesh, don't we? And we often say things like this: "Well, I'm in this situation, and this is just the way I'm going to respond to it." Okay, but it's your choice, and it's not going to end well. You see, God's given you power over that. You no longer have to obey that. The feelings will be there, but they don't have power over you anymore. The desires will be there, but they don't have power over you anymore. And I promise you this, that if you give in to those ungodly feelings and desires, I promise you every time the sin master is there waiting for you. And he'll pull you in, and he'll pull you way farther than you ever wanted to go. And it'll cause more destruction than you ever thought it would. Because that is what the master of sin does. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. And he makes slavery to him look good. And you remember all of the quote-unquote fun and the shallow fun you've had over here in the life of sin, but you quickly forget the pain because he's not going to bring it up. And he'll gladly accept you back. And he will gladly tear down everything that God's done in your life. He'll do that. But remember, it's your choice. And now you're here. God loves you. He doesn't want that for you. But he's not going to force himself on you. It's your choice. Your choice is clear. Serving sin brings nothing but shame. Listen, every time. "Brother Chad, I've been doing this for a little while and I'm fine for now." And the Bible does say that sin is fun for a season. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but it will bring shame every single time. And the master of sin will hide that shame for as long as he can to keep you sucked in, but it will happen. And ultimately, if it's never dealt with, will lead to eternity away from God. But serving God brings holiness in this life and eternity with God. And by the way, can I say this? Holiness is not just like this. No, holiness is actually your purpose. It's actually what you've been designed to do. God created you and designed you to live for Him. And so it's not just this pious thing But it's this: when you're living a life that is holy, you're living the life that God designed for you, and you're living a life that is fulfilled beyond what you can imagine. And so it's your choice. Shame and reproach, or fulfillment and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith. It's up to you. Your choice. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the choice that you gave us. God, as we no doubt are reflecting on the slave market of sin that we were all once a part of, God, it does bring back, Lord, a semblance of the shame. But it makes us thankful for what you've done. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your Son and being willing to die for us. And thank you for freeing us from that and giving us the power to overcome sin. Help us to make that real, even as Paul said in our last lesson, help us to reckon that and to make that true in our life, that we will no longer again have to serve sin and the master of it. And Lord, I pray that you bless this rest of this day today. Lord, be with Pastor as he delivers your word here in a little bit, and be with the fellowship. And I just pray that you would be glorified in all that is said and done today. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen.